We touched on, did some review from the weeks past on some things, looking at the tribe of Dan, why it's missing from the 144,000, and we discussed that last week. Basically just looked at verse 1 of chapter 8, and seeing the silent pause in heaven. For a half hour, Scripture says, a half hour pause in heaven, as heaven appears to be somewhat in awe of about what is to take place. God's wrath being poured out upon his creation. And as I mentioned last week, I think we can be grateful that we serve a God whom does not sit upon a throne, basically just longing and looking forward to creating destruction and hurt upon those who have done wrong to him. That's not the heart of the God that we serve. We serve a God who is gracious. He is so patient, as we saw several weeks ago, of the merciful pause that we see in heaven, that takes place when he shares with us that even in the midst of his wrath, and that is going to be poured out upon the world in the 7-year tribulation time, believers are not present, right? We've been raptured out prior to this, and have great confidence that the Lord will pluck his people, those who are still alive, right? Those who have died, who knew Christ, will rise first, as it tells us in Thessalonians, and then those who are still alive will be plucked up to be with the Lord, and he will rescue us from the wrath to come. And I believe Scripture is very clear in that. So we're looking at what now is taking place from chapter 4 on in Revelation. It's talking about those who are left behind. A world that is broken, that is lost. It's really focusing on the nation Israel during this time. But everybody's involved. Everybody is experiencing the wrath of God. Those who have chose to reject Jesus as their Savior prior to the rapture. And here we have that moment, as we looked at last week, that silent pause, that silent moment in heaven, as all of heaven is in this awe and this wonder of what is about to come. Wrath, brokenness, heartache and pain like never seen before. I think it is so important for us to remember, you know, when you talk to people about that, they say, oh, what a horrible God that is. That's no God of love, that he would pour out his wrath upon humanity and upon his creation. He created this world, and then for him to do what he's going to do here, what kind of a God is that? I think we got to go back to Romans chapter 1, and it doesn't take us but a moment for us to remember, and actually we could look at so many passages of Scripture that remind us of why this wrath is to come, and that God doesn't take delight in it. He doesn't delight in pouring out his wrath, but he has to deal with sin. He has to deal, and he says he has given everyone, as it tells us in Romans chapter 1 in verse 18. Romans 1 verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. But oh, has he given opportunities? Oh, has he given opportunity for us as human beings, as his prized possession and creation, given us opportunity to come to an understanding of who he is and what he came to accomplish for us. And he is longing for us to place our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. We see in Romans 1:25, it says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. When we look at what he is going is about to do here in Revelation chapter 8, of the first four trumpets that are going to blast, and to see what he is going to do with his creation, it's fascinating. We live in a world today in which they're so concerned about, because they worship God's creation rather than the Creator, and they think that we are doing horrible things to the ozone and to the horrible things to this world. And they have no idea what is going to actually bring the destruction of this world. And it's not going to be mankind, ultimately. It's going to be God having to pour out his wrath upon mankind who has chose to worship his creation rather than the Creator. He's going to have to pour out his wrath upon it and them who have chose to put their focus in the wrong place. And my friends, we listen to it on the news every day. And you talk about stewardship. It's so important for us to understand that we are placed on this earth to be good stewards of what God has given us. But the things that they are promoting today is plumb nonsense. It's unbelievable. They worship creation rather than the Creator, and they have got everything so screwed up. And they think that we are going to self-destruct. We are going to create destruction of the world, and no. It's because humanity is worshiping creation and trying to preserve creation rather than glorifying the Lord. They are going to, through their own wickedness and brokenness, God is going to have to pour out his wrath upon this world, and it's going to be destroyed by fire, ultimately. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, choosing to worship the things of this world rather than worshiping the Creator. Romans 1:28-32. For furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent their own ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. Does that not display where we are today, my friends? Oh, it should grieve our heart, but this is where we are. This is where our world is. It just spews of rejection of the one whom has created us for a purpose and desiring to walk in his truth and live out his ways and honor him and glorify him. No, instead, we are enamored with his creation. I've never seen a society in the days in which we live, we are such a narcissistic people. Everybody, it's the see their picture, or the next time that they can have, you know, they post something on Facebook. Oh, I hope that, you know, people like what I'm doing, and I hope that. Narcissistic in everything around us. It's so sad to see what is going on, and we have lost our way of what is the purpose for which we are here. And God is going to have to deal with it. He has to, because he is a loving God, and if he wasn't a loving and holy God, he would be no God worthy of following. If he didn't deal with the sin, if he didn't deal with the brokenness of humanity and our choice, it's our choosing, all have the opportunity to come to a saving knowledge of him. Why is it that he has to pour out his wrath? because humanity rejects him. Man worships Mother Nature. Oh, Mother Nature, who in the world is she? Mother Nature. No, God created the heavens and the earth. It's not about Mother Nature or Father, whatever. It's about God is created. He is in charge. He is the one whom we are to recognize and to glorify and honor in the world in which we live. It's not Mother Nature. Man has failed to honor God. He has failed to recognize God. He gives God no thanks. He gives God no place. He rejects his glory and creation and worships the creator and the creation. He worships the creature and the creation rather than the creator. They're preoccupied with Mother Nature, that environment, environmental atheism, that evolutionists say God is in everything and everything is God. That's pantheism through and through. That God is in everything and oh, we're just, I don't need to be a part of a body. I don't need to be a part of what God's designed to be, the church. No, I just go out and I worship God out there. I worship nature. That's what you hear people, that's what they're talking about. They're worshiping nature. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping nature. Oh, my friends, we have got it so wrong, and we see in our world today that there is so much brokenness. But I pray for us as believers that we are so desiring to worship our Creator, to glorify and honor him, to make him the purpose of our life, because we live in a world who is worshiping everything but the Creator. Well, we see here in chapter 8 of Revelation 8, in verse 2, it says, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And they are about to sound the trumpet, which is representing judgment. They are going to sound the trumpet, declaring what God is about to do. And remember, there was a silence in heaven for a half hour because of the awe and the wonder of what was about to take place. But we see here now in verses 3 through 6, we see that there again is these the prayers and the incense that are going up. And thinking back to in Revelation 6:9, when it talks about the prayers of the saints that were under the tables, that was representing those who were martyred during the time of the tribulation. But I don't know that it has to only be the prayers of those who were martyred during the tribulation or during this time, but the prayers of the saints as a whole that are being lifted up of, Lord, how much longer must this go on? And we saw the response again as we looked, if we look back, and Jesus replies, because more must die. But there's going to be victory ultimately. Yes, they will die in this life, but they will experience redemption in eternity in the presence of the Lord. But these prayers and these incense, these prayers are something of a fragrant aroma to the Lord, something that is pleasing to him. And as the saints are praying and lifting up their prayers to him, and the incense, a picture of the prayers going up, right? But it's a fragrant thing in the nostrils of the Lord to hear the prayers of the saints. But then to see what takes place, as he says, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and earthquake. In an earthquake, the smoke from the incense, along with the prayers of the saints, was offered up. Those martyred for their faith, we see in Revelation 6:9. It was offered up by a eighth angel, not one of the angels that is going to be sounding a trumpet. This was another angel that that pronounces this. Okay. He hurled the censer filled with fire to the earth. The scripture says what it says here. We don't know. All we know is that the prayers of the saints are going up, and God and his justice and his love, he has to come to that point when he has to inflict his wrath upon a world and a people who has chose to reject him. And we see that take place here in this passage. Thunder, lightning, and an earthquake shook the earth. These are events that are not just our little lightning and thunder events and earthquakes that we have felt, the little tremors and tremblings that we have felt even here in Callaway, Nebraska over the last 5 years or so. It's been a while since we've felt those, hasn't it been? But, or heard them. Maybe we didn't feel them, but we heard it. Sound like a truck coming through. Kind of a weird little event. This is something of far greater magnitude. Far greater, that is about to take place. And the world is going to be shaken by what God is inflicting upon it at this moment. The first trumpet is blown in verse 7. In verse 7, the first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. You just think about, in fact, I just was seeing a picture here the other day of a comparison between the 30s and then just recently of the dust storm. I don't know if you saw that, but it's interesting. And boy, you look at those pictures and they're ominous, and it's like, oh, that looks so horrible of what's taking place. But my friends, we have seen nothing of what is going to take place for those who are left behind, who have chose to reject Christ and were not plucked up in the rapture and are left on this earth to go through the tribulation, and specifically in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, they are going to experience something that we've never seen before. It was... The first trumpet is blown, hail and fire mixed with blood was hurled upon the earth. I don't know how to add anything to that. That's what Scripture says, and that's a real picture. This isn't imagery. There's every reason to believe this is what God's word means. It's literal, that hail and fire. I was hearing and reading about how hail and fire going together, one with like volcanoes, thinking about Mount St. Helens, when Mount St. Helens blew, and how it blew debris 126,000 feet into the air, and it went around the earth numerous times. But when that took place, and the explosion that took place there, and the thunder, the lightning, the hail, the storm, it created its own storm system for a time because of the magnitude of that tiny little volcano within this big world. And yet we all remember that, I'm certain. I remember as a kid in Montana playing out on the playground and remembering that, initially we were able to play outside, but the ash in Montana from Washington, it was so bad that they finally did not let us go outside for recess for several days because of the amount of dust ash that was in the air. I remember that. That volcano affected the whole world in many ways. They had to change flight patterns because of what that volcano did. Well, my friends, what's going to take place in this time, in this judgment, is something that is never seen before. It's interesting in Joel chapter 1 and verse 19, it appears that there's almost like maybe a glimpse of what is to come there. To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the open pastures and flames have burned up all the trees of the field. And Joel 2:30 says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Something to come. A third of the earth will be burned up. We think that it's a bummer when it's hot, and we've had a lot of fires. We've had a lot of burning that's happened right here in our state in this last few months. It's nothing. A third of the earth will be burned up. A third of the trees will be destroyed, will be burned up. And Scripture says that all the green grass will be burned up. Think about that for a moment. Think about how you talk about chaos and you think about, oh my goodness, what has happened? And yet I think about the fact of the rapture taking place and then all these things ensue, and it was somehow probably going to be blamed. It was our fault, right? And they're going to be trying to figure out how they're going to fix this mass destruction that's taking. Boy, have we experienced, or have we moved into global warming, right? That's what they're going to think in these moments. But this is global warming that's not by man, but it is by God. God is going to do a major cleansing. He has to make things right that have been so wrong. And here is the continuation of this. As we saw the seals earlier, now the trumpets. The second trumpet is blown, and a third of what's in and on the sea is destroyed. Think about that. There's something, it says here, it says the first angel, in verse 8, the second angel sounded his trumpet, something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. And as it says here, like a mountain. So we don't know what that is. But it says it's like a mountain. So it's not telling us what this is, but it's like a mountain. It's big in magnitude, thrown into the sea, and through this, there is mass destruction. And again, we see here a third of what's in and on the sea is destroyed, and the sea turns to blood. It turns to blood. We can go back to Exodus, and we can see where God did some real miraculous things with Moses and the plagues and what God was doing with Israel at that time, with Israel, showing them the way out, right? As they were fleeing from the Egyptians. There we go. I wanted to say the Muslims, and no, that wasn't right. No. Where'd that come from? I guess maybe so. It still would be kind of right. But the Egyptians, right, believing and against God and hating who God stood for, and to see how God used the different plagues to show them that he is God. And there's a lot of comparisons and a lot of things that we can look at, but again, these are not just dealing with a group of people. This is dealing with the entire world now. This is something of grand magnitude. A third of the sea turned into blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Hard to imagine. Hard to imagine what that's going to be like. You know, we can sit and see what's taking place right now in Ukraine and with Russia and so on, and they blew up a ship, and it's like, oh, wow, that's... But a third of the ships in the world taken out in a moment. And then he continues on in his judgments, the third trumpet. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and the great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. It's fascinating to read about what wormwood was, and it's said that it's actually of something of liquor that is it's very bitter, and ultimately it's poison. Okay, a root that is that wormwood. It's a root that is. It's something that not only will make somebody drunk, but it ultimately will kill them. Wormwood, a bitter, poisonous substance that causes one to be drunken and eventually death. And whatever takes place here, this blaze, this star, this great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky, and a third of the rivers. You know, there's this thought that maybe as it enters into the atmosphere and it explodes or it disperses and then falls into the waters. And we don't know, but we just know what it says here, that a third of the waters, the fresh water upon the face of the earth, is going to be tainted. It's going to be bitter. It will be poison. Think about the chaos and the upheaval that is going to create in the world. Why is it that this is taking place? Why is it that God is pouring out his wrath not only upon people, but upon his creation? Because it's fallen, because it has rejected him, it has chose its own way, and he has to deal with sin. He has to. So we see that a third of the fresh water is destroyed. The fourth trumpet is blown. And we see here that a third of the sun and the moon and the stars were affected. And we see that it appears that the sun becomes less potent. And so there's actually a global cooling. And man had nothing to do with it. It's going to be God's doing. It's going to be what he's going to do in a moment. And we'll see later on that this, obviously, this doesn't continue, or humanity couldn't survive, but it's going to go the other way, and he turns up the heat, and we'll see that later on in Revelation. It was very interesting last night, shortly after we got back from our trip to Loveland, and I was sitting out on the porch. It was dark, I'm guessing 9:30 or 9:45, somewhere in there. Sitting there looking off to the east, and all this, I see a bright light, and it's cruising. And I'm like, I bet you that's the ISS, the space station. So I get on my phone and I said, what's the track of the International Space Station? And sure enough, it was that. It had just flown over here. And literally within, I don't know, I went inside about 5 minutes later and it was showing it was over Maine by then, about 5 minutes later. But the coolest thing ever, to watch that thing flying through this bright light. Well, you think about the heavens, and I don't know, I hope you enjoy going out and you look at the heavens, and of course what we just expect, right? The sun rises and it gives heat, the moon, we see, you know, the beauty of it and it reflecting the light of the sun and all these things. But it's all going to be dimmed. A third of the sun, the moon, and the stars are going to be affected here. You talk about affecting the world in a dramatic way. It does sadden, or it should sadden our hearts, to think about something that God has created to be so amazing and so beautiful, and to realize because of sin, ultimately, because of our sin, it has to be destroyed. But there's redemption there. There's hope, right? And we can experience that, and I hope we're experiencing that today, the hope that we have in Jesus. Conclusion for us to come to this morning, my friends, it's kind of a dark picture here when we think about what is going to take place with those who are here still on the earth during this time of the tribulation and the loss of lives. You think about all of these things taking place and the famines and the no water, and you have to have it. You have to have water to survive. You have to have food, but water even more important. And to think, my friends, that because and if we are drinking from the living water, right, of Jesus that he offers to us, we're never going to have to experience this bitter moment that is coming, and the world is going to face it in a dramatic way. So where do we conclude with this thought today? Again, I can't help but say today is the day of salvation. It's today. Don't wait for tomorrow. And my friends, for your neighbor and for your family members or your loved one, your co-workers, whatever, if they don't know Jesus, these days are coming for them. If they do not know Jesus, does that stir something in your heart that says, oh Lord, give me the courage to let my light shine with love and grace and mercy to a lost and dying world, because they are going to experience the wrath of God if not. That should stir us and compel us to be a people of action and getting to the heart of why we're here and why he redeemed us. These are no moments for us to be concerned about, honestly, what the world thinks. The world hates Jesus, and we stand for Jesus, but we pray that the Lord keeps us from being the stumbling block, that we act foolishly like the world acts and give them reason to hate us and to dislike us because we're just like them. No, if they're going to hate us, it's because we are in love with Jesus, the way of hope and peace and love and forgiveness. These are the days to be courageous and encouraged. Acts 17:30, it says, in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Oh, fix your eyes on Jesus. Get your heart right with him. Live for him. Serve him. Honor him. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. None. But there is today. And I pray that we take the opportunity to not only place our faith and trust in him, but then let him transform our lives and help us to walk in the truth and then to proclaim the truth to a lost and dying world. Because, my friends, what is coming for those who choose to reject him, and none of us, remember, none of us can save anyone. All we can do is point them to Jesus. We can tell them the truth, point them to the hope that we find in God and his word. But if they don't trust in him, they are going to experience the wrath of God, not just for a moment here on earth, but for all eternity in hell. That grieves my heart, and I hope it grieves yours also. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, thank you so much for your word, and Lord, we're thankful for the vision that you gave John, Lord, of the things to come. Lord, to remind us that, Lord, there is great trouble ahead, destruction and wrath. Not the wrath from just anyone, but the very wrath of God. It's going to be poured out upon this world and upon a people who has chose to reject you. Lord, I pray that you will, in the moment, help us to remember for ourselves that today is the day of salvation, and help us to remember that, Lord, that we need to be proclaiming and sharing the truth of your love for us and your forgiveness to those around us, Lord, who have not trusted you, and to realize that there is no promise for tomorrow for any of them. Help us to share it faithfully. And Lord, help us to start at home. Help us to be faithful, to share it, to proclaim it, to live it out within our homes and with our kiddos and then at our workplace and throughout each day. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.